Lord. The hour of darkness is at hand. The sun has surrendered its glory, bows before its creator. For 3 hours, deep shadows rule over creation. Men love darkness, for their deeds were evil. To the delight of many, Jesus is crucified, hanging between two criminals, hanging between heaven and earth, hanging as one of them, one of us. He's naked, bearing the shame of sinful humanity, unable to hide, nailed in place, firmly set on the tree in the earth. Soldiers divide his clothes like plunder on the battlefield, completely ignorant of the eternal battle being fought just above their heads while they cast lots for his robe. Crowds join the chief priests and mock him. Their words pummel his heart. The voices of those whom he came to save strike greater blows than the fists of his Roman executors. Rejected by humanity, Jesus is accursed by God. Cursed is the man who hangs upon the tree. Jesus is forsaken by his father, abused by his brothers, and abandoned by his disciples. The sheep have scattered, while the shepherd endures the wolves' attack. Seeing death and hell wrestle him into death, pin him in the grave, and seek to curse humanity forever. The earth shakes as he gives up the ghost. The temple veil is torn from top to bottom. Rocks are rent asunder, and the graves of many righteous people are opened. Mary's heart is pierced. Israel's bridegroom has breathed his last. God's son is dead. The story of the cross is a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. And even we struggle to behold this image with love for Christ. When we think on the love of God, this isn't usually the first picture that comes to mind. We may think on Jesus, but not Jesus crucified, bloody, dead. Maybe Jesus feeding 5,000 out on the grassy knoll. Maybe Jesus touching lepers, healing the lame, or sitting with children on his lap. We think on the kind things he's done rather than the horrible things he suffered. This is the way of a fallen people. We prefer to think on works instead of suffering. If we can think of the good things Jesus has done for others, well then maybe we can think on the good things that we have done. We love our works. And if there's one place, beloved, where there's no room for our works, it's right there on the cross. The cross is a testimony against our works. Our old sinful nature doesn't want to be reminded of such things because such things remind us that our works deserve death. The wages of sin is death. This is why Jesus is crucified. He's put to death for what we have done. And the cross reminds us of these things. As long as we hold on to the hope that what we have done is good enough in God's eyes, we'll be conflicted by the sign of the cross, the image of Jesus suffering and death for us. As long as we trust in ourselves, we'll be uncomfortable in a pew where Christ crucified happens regularly. As long as we believe that humanity possesses the moral capability of determining our own eternal destiny, we'll shun the cross, and in particular the crucifix. And instead we'll lend our ears to preachers who affirm our lifestyles. Beloved, we must come to realize that not only is there no room for our works, but it's our works that have put Jesus there. The cross, beloved, shatters every illusion that you can save yourself. And the cross sets before you the one who loved you enough to die for your sins in your place. So, beloved, you are given this day to cast your eyes and your heart toward the cross of Christ. Recall the cost of your salvation, for it was no easy price to pay. The wages of sin is death, and so Jesus dies for you. He's numbered with transgressors because you and I, we're transgressors. He's punished because we are guilty. He's stripped because we've clothed ourselves with filthy garments. He's wounded because by his stripes we are brought healing. The chastisement for our peace is all upon him. The bruises he suffers are for you. The nails, the spear, and the crown are all for your transgressions. And so his wounds have become your refuge. Within them you can hide. Hide as in a cleft in the rock. You can hide and behold God for you. So the one who has been wrestled into death and pinned in the grave has not left behind a curse, but instead offers a blessing. He does not mark iniquity or keep record of wrongs, for that is not the nature of love. This is love, that while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. God loved us first by sending his Son Jesus to be a propitiation for us, to be a blood covering for our sins. Through his death, this death, on the cross, God is both just, and then he punishes our sin, and justifier, in that all sin has been atoned for by his blood and his blood alone. Like the angel of the Lord pinned by Jacob in a wrestling match, Jesus suffers himself the pangs of the cross at the hands of his dearly loved Israel in order to leave behind a blessing that endures unto eternity, a blessing that rends the veil from top to bottom and opens the way to God through his blood. And this blessing is not acquired by our piety or our devotion or even our contemplation tonight. It's not something we are given because it's earned or deserved. In fact, quite the opposite. It is a gift given by grace to be received by faith. You, beloved, are given to believe that Jesus died and rose again for you, believing the promises you received the gift. For we are saved by grace through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. Faith is not even your own doing, but it's the gift of God, which he gives to you through the preaching of Christ and him crucified. And so everything this day, beloved, centers on the story of the cross, the word of Christ crucified, because the word of the cross is the power of God unto salvation. The word of the cross is the object of your faith, not the cross itself. The word is given in order to give you Jesus and everything that he's done for you. The word applies that work of Christ, his life, death, and resurrection and ascension to the Father's right hand to you, through your ears and in your heart. The word brings what happened so long ago to you here tonight in this place. Therefore, beloved, lend your ears to the word of the cross. Bow your heart to the glories of his passion. Believe, and it shall be so for you. For the hour of darkness was past, and though sin, death, and hell still press heavy upon us, and though our conscience often accuses us, though it seems and feels like the darkness is advancing, what we see and feel is not an accurate assessment of reality. For we Christians do not press on by sight, but by faith. And faith's object is the Word, and the Word has revealed the victory of our God through Jesus' death and resurrection for us. The Word has revealed and delivers the free forgiveness of our sins. The Word is our guiding light, the lone object for our hearts to cling to in the darkness. And so we hold to the Word, and we revel in the story of the cross. For we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are not embarrassed by the sign of our salvation. We are not so easily given to surrender the liberty he has purchased for us with his blood. We are not intimidated by the children of this age, nor will we allow bullies to compromise us or even use the sword to sway us otherwise. We have been redeemed by Christ, the crucified one, the one who died and rose from the dead on the third day. And so with the centurion at the foot of the cross, having seen the way he died and died for us, we cry out into a lost world, truly this man is the Son of God. In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.
Amen.